Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated, excited, and influenced. Why? It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia. And now, here to motivate, excite, and influence you, Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Super excited to have you joining us here today. Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful day. Listen, this is your girl, Charvette. I am excited to have you joining us here, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. A big shout-out to all those that are tuning in from Twitter. We love you. Those that are listening in from Facebook, how you doing? And those that are on the phone lines, we appreciate you. Listen, today's show is off the chain. We're going to kick off the show with an author spotlight. I'm telling you what, Tyora Moody is back by popular demand. We're going to be chatting it up with her about her new book, Deep Fried Trouble. Mm-hmm. The first installment in the Eugenia Patterson mystery. Yes. So we're going to get to hear all about that. And then we will roll into our second segment, and we're going to be talking to a gospel rap artist. Yes, a gospel rap artist. He goes by the acronym G2S, and I'm going to let him tell you what that stands for. We're going to be talking to none other than Tyrone Richardson. Call Tyrone. Yeah, y'all know about that. Anyway, gospel rap artist. We're going to chat it up with him. And then in our last segment, we're going to be talking to two dynamic divas who are on an empowerment tour, Sisters Empowerment Tour, that may be coming to a city location near you. We're going to be talking to Sherelle Diamond Hogan, who certainly is not a visitor to this show. She is a frequent guest. We're going to be talking to her. She is a motivational speaker, an empowerment speaker, a publisher, and an author. And then we're also going to be talking to Alicia Broughton. And I'm telling you what, she is an author, motivational speaker as well, a coach. And so they're going to be chatting it up with you. So we're going to jump right on into the very first segment that we have for you. So, again, back by popular demand, Tyora Moody is joining us to talk about Deep Fried Trouble. Now, listen. Widowed and officially retired, Eugenia Patterson throws herself into organizing the Neighborhood Association. This presents a great opportunity to reconnect with old friends and to get to know new neighbors, like the recently widowed Amos Jones. Mm-hmm. That is until Eugenia stumbles upon her estranged neighbor's dead body. Eugenia's daughter is fingered as a prime suspect, but where is she? Oh, my goodness. Coming to the mic right now is the author of the newly released Deep Fried Trouble, Tyora Moody. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Charvette.
Oh, wow. We are just honored to have you and to showcase you in this author spotlight. Certainly, you've released previous books we've chatted with our listeners about. And so this new book, we want to hear all about it. Certainly, you write in the suspense kind of arena. How did you get into that genre?
Well, I always tell people I'm a bookworm, and probably 75% of what I read as far as fiction ends up being mystery or suspense. So it became natural to me to want to see what I can do with writing my own whodunit.
Wow, and I like that you call it soul-searching. It's soul-searching suspense, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so how do we get even started? Set us up. Give us the backdrop of this particular book, kind of the location, the town that this is set in. Kind of set the scene for us.
Sure. Deep Fried Trouble, which is the first book in the Eugenia Patterson Mysteries, is set in Charleston, South Carolina, which is one of my favorite places to be in the world. So I thought, wow, what a great setting for a mystery novel. I do have a fictional neighborhood. It's called Sugar Creek. So that's kind of the setting that people will get a chance to get to know, hopefully, in this book and a couple other books afterwards.
All right, awesome. And so how would you describe the main character? Eugenia. We know she's retired and she's widowed. What else about her personality would be helpful to know?
Well, she is a retired school teacher. She's been teaching social studies to middle school students for about 30 years. So she's actually good and tired and ready to relax and enjoy what retirement is all about. But I'm sure it's maybe some of your listeners who have retired, there's a little bit of adjustment of not having to get up in the morning and go and do the routine day job. So she's kind of adjusting to that. She's also recently been diagnosed as a diabetic. So she's been about a year into that. She's learning how to cook, learning how to exercise, and try to adjust her lifestyle to not only being retired, but also having this disease that she has acquired over the years.
And so is she a type of person who is like, okay, I've had a little bit of adjustment with retirement, but I still feel like I need to do something. I need to have my hands in something.
Yes, she is definitely that type of person. As a matter of fact, she ends up being the head of the neighborhood association, which is something she wouldn't have planned to do until she retired. It kind of fits in with her. She likes to sit on her porch in the evenings on a rocking chair and kind of check out what's going on. So this is actually something that she kind of settled into pretty good.
Okay. And so then her new neighbor, Amos Jones. So tell us about Amos, who is also a recent widow.
Yes, Amos has been a widow for about a year. He lost his wife to cancer. So he happens to be a retired cop. And so he lives next door to her. He's kind of enjoying retirement. He often comes over and offers to cut her grass and help her keep up with some things in the yard, since she's also widow as well. Her husband's been gone for about 3 years in this novel. So they get to know each other, and Eugenia finds herself in an interesting situation where she's kind of liking Mr. Amos, and she has these feelings that she thought only young schoolgirls would have.
Okay. So the seniors or those retired, y'all still got y'all thing going on too. Quiet as it is kept. They don't have the word cougar out for anything. It's out here for some reason. Okay, so certainly, and then as I mentioned before, so there is a dead body that's been uncovered, and her daughter has been selected as the prime suspect. So tell us a little bit about the daughter's personality and characteristics.
The daughter, she just actually turned 21 in this book. So she happens to be, I wouldn't call her the black sheep of the family, but she's the troubled child of the family. She was born 15 years after her older brothers. So there's a wide age gap in between her age and her two older brothers. So she's definitely the baby of the family. She is definitely a daddy's girl. She's had a lot of adjustments over her life. She became a mother when she was a senior in high school. There's another little surprise that comes in the book when people read it. But she's having a hard time just trying to adjust to adulthood. So that's kind of the person that you find in Lisa.
Oh, listeners, if you just tuned in, we say hello, welcome. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we are in our author spotlight, chatting it up with the author of Deep Fried Trouble, newly released book by author Tyora Moody. You want to check it out. While they're listening, where can people purchase a copy of your book?
The book is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, most bookstores. If you don't see it in the store, you go up to the manager and ask them to order it from the catalog. And it's also available for ebook readers on the Nook and the Kindle.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, so how did you come up with the title, Deep Fried Trouble?
Well, there's a little play on the character's personality. She does find herself in her lifetime, and especially in this book, getting into a bit of trouble because she is curious. She wants to find out what's going on. And I also did a play on the fact that she is a diabetic. She's having to move away from the fried foods and the way she used to cook. So the deep fried trouble kind of has a little bit of a double meaning on it.
Oh, and so that's one of the themes in the book, is that you want to bring some awareness around the disease of diabetes?
Yes, it's kind of subtle, but you definitely will hear her talking about her blood sugar levels, talking about the things she used to love to eat, and now she's adjusting to what she's eating now. So that's definitely integrated into the book and the character, just her new lifestyle that she's adjusting to.
Okay, so what are one or two other kind of key themes that are interwoven into this novel, Deep Fried Trouble?
Well, definitely the issue of forgiveness. The woman who is murdered in this book happens to be at one time was a pretty good friend to Eugenia. But, you know, sometimes the people, they get grudges. They kind of hold on to those grudges for a little bit too long when they should have went to each other and tried to work out what exactly happened. In this case, Eugenia didn't get that opportunity to work out and ask for forgiveness or seek forgiveness. That opportunity was totally gone. That's kind of what drives her, really, in this novel, to find out what happened to her friend, because that you kind of see that guilt kind of sitting there at the edge, like, oh, I should have let this go, and I should have done this.
Wow.
But forgiveness is a big theme in this book as well.
And how important is forgiveness for both parties involved? The one that needs to be forgiven and the one that needs to give forgiveness. How does that impact both sides of the fence?
Well, I think the one that needs to be forgiven, it will help them let go of things that they're holding on to, that they're just collecting on them. Same thing with the person who has been wronged, and they need for that person to come to them. I think all of us, we have what we call baggage. I think in that baggage are all those things that someone has done to you. And so it can help us empty out some of that baggage. That's helpful for both parties.
Great. Well said, well said. And so certainly when Eugenia and Amos start trying to figure out, you know, what is going on, they kind of pull together a list of the neighbors that they feel have some shady or unknown backgrounds. Would that be considered nosy or curious? It's a fine line. Wouldn't you agree between nosy and curious?
Yeah, there's definitely a fine line between nosy and curious. I think Amos, from his background being a cop, he naturally was led to want to be more investigative. With Eugenia, it became a little bit more nosiness sometimes, but it was a good nosiness because it led her to other things.
Well, I mean, I think this is awesome because we're right in the middle of the summer. We're actually probably going on the downswing, but there are people that still have vacation. So why not grab Deep Fried Trouble, grab this, put it on, have it, download it on your Nook, your Kindle, your tablet. You can read it on the airplane, read it on the beach, read it on the river, wherever. If you're just at home relaxing on the deck, why don't you pick up Deep Fried Trouble by Taora Moody? All right, so I don't want to give it too much away. I think we have set the stage, certainly, for Deep Fried Trouble. As I mentioned before, that you have other books out. Your debut novel was When Rain Falls, and then that was the first book in the Victory Gospel series, and then you also released When Memories Fade. So certainly you have been busy writing, but you also own and operate TyWebbinCreations.com, which is a design and marketing company. So tell us a little bit about that.
I'm sure. The past 12 years, I've mainly worked with authors. Sometimes I end up working with some artists or businesses or nonprofits, but authors are kind of my main clients. I do sort of everything. I work with authors to help develop an online presence via website, or help them set up or even sometimes manage their social media. I set up virtual book tours. I've been doing virtual book events for about 5 years. Those consist of tours, as well as I do Twitter or Facebook chats. And then I also have an area of my business where we build book trailers for authors as well.
Wow. So what great resources. So if you are a new author, aspiring author, certainly check out TyWebbinCreations.com. That's TYWEBBIN. Creations, just like you spell it, .com. Explain to people, some people may be listening saying, I don't know what a virtual book tour is. Does that mean I still go around and travel to different bookstores? Explain what the virtual book tour is for people that may not know.
Sure, there are different virtual tour companies that may set it up differently, but mainly the gist of it is everything's online. You have certain stops like you would a physical tour where you may stop by different bookstores or different book clubs. In this particular setting, most of the stops are either bloggers who are very dedicated to featuring or interviewing or reviewing books, or radio hosts such as Charvette Mitchell. We like
Woo-hoo!
To set up the audio part of the tour where readers can listen to the author and find out more information about them. And we also, you know, plug in social media and chat into the virtual part where we continually promote it out so people are aware of the various stops.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. And certainly I think it's important to, you know, to point out for authors that sometimes they feel like that writing the book, once I write the book, it's like, I can wash my hands, I'm done, I've done everything I need to do. But yet the marketing part of getting out and promoting your book is vitally important. For example, those of you that may know Pastor Joel Osteen, one of his books he released, it might not have been the last one, but the one before that, he had like a $1 million marketing budget for it. So you would think somebody that is on TV broadcast, that's reaching millions of people, he wouldn't even have to do anything extra. You know, he could just talk about it on the broadcast, but yet set aside specific money for the marketing of the book. So that's just an example of how important marketing and getting out there is for those that are authors, artists. We throw everybody in the bucket. Marketing. So. Great. Tell people how they can connect with you and contact you online.
I don't know, the best way is probably my main website, which is my name, Tyora Moody, TYORAMOODY.com. There's links to all my social media spots like Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, and then you can also get links to my businesses as well.
Great. So definitely stay connected with Tyora Moody and pick up Deep Fried Trouble. You want to get that. The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And the last question for you is, what continues to motivate you?
Just being creative. Creativity is definitely my motivation. I love getting up in the morning, not necessarily knowing what I'm going to do some days, but just being able to do something that someone else can find helpful in their lives. So being creative about that really is what drives me.
Wow. Well, awesome. So we certainly salute you here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show and give you a big round of applause for the release of your book and wish you much more continued success.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate being on the show, Charvette.
All right, you are quite welcome. All right, listeners, guess what? We're going to go to a very quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back to our second segment, which is an artist spotlight, and we're going to be chatting it up with Mr. Tyrone Richardson, a.k.a. G2S. He's a gospel rap artist, and you're going to get to learn a little bit more about him, so don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
In the newly released book, I Didn't Know, by Yvette Allen Tatum, the many faces of child abuse, from the victims to the abusers, are exposed and brought to the forefront. Yvette believes the only tragedy greater than the actual crime of child abuse is the ignorance of the silence of the abuse. Pick up your copy of I Didn't Know by Yvette Allen Tatum online at YvetteAllen-Tatum.com. That's YvetteAllen-Tatum.com. Chief Apostle Olive C. Brown and International Christian Ministries Incorporated presents the 21st Annual Holy Convocation, August 1st through the 3rd, 2013. Hosted at the Marriott Richmond West, 4240 Dominion Boulevard. Register online at www.convocationicm.com. Enjoy worship services, concerts, and youth services. Our speakers include Bishop Dr. A.D. Hyman, Bishop Eric Figueroa, and Chief Apostle Olive C. C. Brown. We are excited to honor Chief Apostle Olive C. Brown on Founders Day, Friday, August 2nd, 2013. The 21st Annual Holy Convocation will also feature free health screenings, the Torchbearer Awards, and Official Day. Join us August 1st through 3rd, 2013, as we convene at the Marriott Richmond West. Make your hotel reservations today. Visit www.convocationicm.com. Kingdom people, we win.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back again. Hello to all those that are tuning in. We are so glad to have you here checking us out on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Listen, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. Connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. And, of course, you can always go to my main website, which is charvette.com. All right, so we're jumping right on into our artist spotlight. I see my guest hanging out in the virtual green room. I'm going to be bringing him to the mic. I'm telling you what, Tyrone Richardson, a.k.a. G2S, and I'm going to let him explain what G2S is. He is a gospel rap artist. He certainly stands on the word and lives by Isaiah 54 and 17. He's been led to express the word of God through gospel rap, and he's had the opportunity to perform at numerous places such as Trinity Life Center in Richmond, Virginia, and Second Baptist Church here in Richmond, Virginia. And his single, Savior, can be seen on JCTV. I like that channel. Christian music videos, Doers TV, New Zealand's Shine TV, and more. And he's here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show just to tell us a little bit more about his music ministry. So I'm going to the line now, going to the virtual green room and bringing G2S on the line. Hello, welcome. You're on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
How you feeling?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I can't complain.
All right, we cannot complain. So listen, I want my listeners to really just know all about you. So certainly tell us a little bit about, first of all, what G2S stands for.
The meaning of it stands for from goon to saint. You know what I'm saying? That's basically saint out to light, like I was heavy into the street, and then I found God. So that's what I got, you know?
Wow, what a testimony, really, for young people, for old people, for everyone. And like, at what point in life did things turn around for you?
I kept on getting locked up, and I was facing a bunch of serious charges, like as far as like gun charges, assault charges, all that. So you know, when you're back against the wall like that, you don't really have no potential. But God, I'm just fortunate enough that He brought me out, and I was able to stick with him. Because a lot of people finally go to jail, get locked up, and found God or whatever, but they don't stick with it.
Right.
I'm just fortunate enough and blessed that I was able to continue my journey with him, because it's the best thing that happens in life.
Awesome, awesome. What a testament. So have you always been into music and rap, or did this evolve?
It kind of came out of nowhere because I'm little. And, you know, everybody think they rap or sing or whatever. So we just used to be in the neighborhood or whatever, just playing with it. But as far as making serious music, like recording it, being in the studio and all that, like I'm doing now, nah, this is my first time for real.
Wow. And so how do you define, some people kind of struggle with if they should say gospel rap or if they should just say rap, or, you know, some people are have a backlash on Lecrae because he has taken off gospel and just said hip-hop, you know, which I'm cool with. But some people kind of struggle with whether you should put that title on it or not. What's your opinion around that?
My pet, like, to be, I consider myself a messenger, like a vessel for God, because, like, if I could sing, I'm singing. But He ain't gave me that talent, so. and if you listen to the music, not to down any other gospel rapper, because I listen to it, but But if you listen to my music or whatever, a lot of gospel rappers, they are positive things, not selling drugs, staying off the streets and stuff. I try for more towards the word and talk about the blood of Jesus. And, you know, like everything that I see, you can find in the scripture.
Awesome. So you really definitely make sure that it's not just, hey, it's a good beat, but the words that you actually say are definitely connected to scripture and connected to the word some kind of way.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. Like, I try to, like, a lot of people get me crazy because I cannot be around nobody else when I write, because I really have to listen to the Holy Spirit, and so he can lead me in what to put on that paper and everything, so. You ain't steer me wrong yet, so I just got to keep listening.
I'm with that. I'm with that. And so is the writing process, because that's one thing about rap. There are a lot of words. Like, people that sing, you can have, like, a little hook that's just a couple words. You can kind of get away with some ad-lib. But, like, rap, you have to have some words on the paper, and that has to get in your mind and your heart. Like, what is the process as far as how long does it take you to write something?
Well, the song, my first song I did was Savior, and I actually wrote that song in about 15 minutes, that whole song.
Get
out of
here.
His other song, yeah, like, bless. But then his other song, that it may take about 5 hours to write. So it's all in, I guess it's all in if you have distractions around you, and sometimes, like, I can't put it all on people around me, but sometimes I get lazy myself. So it may take me a little long to do it and everything, but yeah, man.
Cool. And so do you have a beat before you start writing, or do you kind of write the words and then find, like, the beat that's going to go with it? Which way does it go?
Oh, both ways. I did it.
Okay.
I did it. I wrote first before, and I had the beat before, so it really good, but I got a good beat making. So I could go to him with the hook and hear the beat right around the hook, and I'll just take it from there.
Cool, cool, cool. All right, listeners, if you just tuned in, we say hello. Welcome those that are listening in from Twitter and from Facebook and all across the World Wide Web. We are in our artist spotlight. I call this kind of behind the music. You get to learn about the artist, hear their heart, and we're talking to G2S. Listen, you can go to his official website, www.g2sofficialwebsite.com. Kept it real simple, real easy for you. Tell them how they can connect with you on Twitter and on Facebook as well.
On Twitter, you can get at me, at Goon to Saint. That's G-O-O-N, the number 2-A-I-N-T. On my Facebook, you can just type in G-2, the letter S. And for booking, like shows, you can just type in Tyrone, T-Y-R-O-N-E, G-2-S at com.
Great, great, great. And so have you been so I know you have some videos on YouTube. People can actually go see them, right?
Yes, yes, I have. I shot Savior in Harlem, my hometown, so I shot. That's the first video I did. Then I just, about 3 months ago maybe, I shot Breaking These Chains in Richmond, Virginia, so.
Oh, wow. And, yes, I definitely want to give a shout-out to New York, since that's where you are from. But you've been hanging out here with us in Virginia. But, yeah, we definitely want to represent New York. And we have a lot of New York listeners. So, hey, those that are listening in from New York, we appreciate you. All right, so do you have a full project that is available for people to purchase? Are you working on a project? How does that work?
I'm actually finished the project. But right now, I'm kind of sitting on it a little bit until I really start promoting it, the buzz up a lot. So I don't want to just put it out and then it just sit on the shelf or anything like that. But the name of the project is called Praise 101.
Okay, and what kind of song, what kind of raps or songs are on there that people, you know, will be able to look out for?
Savior, Breaking These Chains. I have a song called The Blood of Jesus. I think a lot of people are like a song called You Chose Me.
Oh, okay.
Anymore.
Cool, cool, cool. And what did it feel like to know that your single Savior was on, you know, some of these TV outlets, JCTV and other? I mean, did you ever get a chance to actually see it come on yourself?
Nah, because every time somebody tell me it's on, I always miss it.
I know, they're probably like on Twitter, yo, your video is on right now, dude.
Yeah. I know it's an incredible feeling. Because I know, like, the time I heard my song on the radio, I almost went crazy. Couldn't tell me nothing.
Oh, wow. It's good. Awesome to see, like, a dream come to, you know, come to pass.
Yes, of course, like. And like I told these young kids, man, you don't even have to wait. You don't have to wait because Jesus is no respecter of a person. You don't have to wait until you get a certain age or whatever to turn your life around. Because what you could do for one at the age of about 50, he could do for you at the age of 13, 14, 15. So.
Yeah, and I mean, and really the way where we live and the society we live in, nobody is guaranteed. You know, none of us are guaranteed to get to 50. So, I mean, it's like get in now, you know, if you have a sense about, you know, that you want God to do something in life. It doesn't matter if you're 14, because 14-year-olds are dealing with crazy stuff these days.
More crazy stuff than grown people.
Yeah. So it's like you need God. Like, what would you say to, like, maybe a parent that's listening and they might have a 14, 15-year-old son and they feel like, you know, he's kind of hanging with the wrong crowd, doesn't have really an interest in anything, and they just feel like he might be, like, sliding the wrong way. Do you have any advice for them, for that parent, that guardian?
Honestly, only thing you could do, in my opinion, all you could do is pray. Because, like you said, at this age of time, kids, like 13, 14, 15, especially when you hit teenage years,
mm-hmm.
I know it's rough on the parents because kids don't, they think they know everything at that age. I know I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything and I didn't know anything. So, only thing you could do is really sit them down, talk to them. Like, you got to be straight up with them, though. You can't beat around the bush. A lot of people like to beat around the bush. You just got to let them know what's out there, what can happen to you. You just got to give it to them raw.
All right. There you go, G2S, give it to them raw. Don't beat around the bush. That's how to get it done. And I could see that you would be a great person, in my opinion, like to talk to youth groups and youth ministries, you know, as you share your gospel rap ministry. But just like sitting down talking, you know, to them, I think you would be a great person, a great example to say, hey, you know, I went down this road, but look, I have turned things around. And take it from me, you don't have to go down that road. You know, you can learn from other people's mistakes. You don't have to make the mistake.
Of course, because from the inside looking out, like you were saying a little while ago, a lot of kids hurt inside. Well, a lot of kids just want to follow the end, or they could be a leader of their own situation. So,
yeah.
I have to let them know you definitely don't have to be a follower and go with the in crowd. Definitely do your own thing and do it the right way.
Do it the right way, because that way, at the end of the day, if something goes down and you're in front of a judge, you can't say, well, five other people was with me and I did it because I was with them and blah, blah, blah.
And
you have to stand
gonna
there.
Be the five people to tell on you.
Yeah, right, because they're going to get a deal to rat you out. But then above that, when you stand before God, you know, you can't, I'm going to take it above the earthly judge. When you stand before God, you know, you only accountable for what you do and how you respond. So anyway, I think that's great. So hopefully, teens, if you're listening, you're picking up on this. Parents, you're listening. Hey, you're picking up on this. Keep your eye out on G2S. Keep your eye out for Praise 101, because it'll be great for you. And there's some people who, you know what, are Christians, are saved, but they just like the hip-hop and that rap beat. You know, they might have been saved for like 20 years, but they just like that beat of the music. So I think you reach a wide range of people.
Yeah, because when I do certain events, do certain shows, I don't use the word old people, But it'd be more of the older crowd that'd be going crazy. I didn't expect, but it's a blessing though. So
yeah. And you know what, I think because it could be that they're relating it to more like real music, because I think a lot of the music that may be out in the secular world even is people, I've heard people classify it as it's not really real, it's a lot of whatever they're doing on the keyboard, you know, it's not real, but like rap is like, it's just real, it's you and the beat and that's it. So, wow. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
And so, yeah, tell listeners again how they can connect with you online.
On Twitter, I'm at GoonToSaint, G-O-O-N, the number 2, S-A-I-N-T, Facebook, G, the number 2, the letter S, on for show, Tyrone, T-Y-R-O-N-E, G2S, at yahoo.com.
All right, we gave you everything you needed there, listeners. Also, I tagged him on Facebook and also tweeted him on Twitter. So that is an easy way to connect. And I know you're connected with me, twitter.com/Charvette, facebook.com/Charvette. All right, and so I definitely want to mention you are married. And so, you know, that's awesome, too, to be a young person as well and married. And, you know, that's a good thing. So I want to shout out your family, certainly, with that. And so the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
Just like seeing people come up and just with tears in their eyes and things like that, like your music touched me, or my child loved your music. Just the little things like that. But
yeah.
Like I said, my music has nothing but word in it. So it may be people that singing my song or singing the hook or whatever, and they praising God, and some of them don't even.
Right.
So that's a motivation for me. That made me feel 1,000 times more better when somebody come up to me, be like, your song changed my life, than anything else, than any amount of money or anything. So.
Wow. That an impact was made. That's phenomenal that an impact was made on that person's life. Well, and you stand on the word Isaiah 54:17, which reads, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. I'm telling you what, that's it. So I'm excited that we were able to feature you here in our artist spotlight to keep the buzz going around about you. We'll keep our eye out for Praise 101, the project that will be released. And certainly, listeners, you can go to YouTube and see some of his videos, real simple, G, the number 2, the letter S, and you can check it out there. Any final words for our listeners?
No, I'm just playing. Just a special shout out to my own PR Rainchild, putting all this together. Shout out to my mentor, Ernest Porter, the whole Richmond, all your listeners. Shout out to you for having me on your show, man.
Oh, thank you. Yes, shout out to Rain. We appreciate it. Well, again, we're going to stay connected, and certainly when you have your official release of the project, we'll have you back so we can share that with the listeners and have everything so they'll know how to connect with you and keep their eyes on you.
I appreciate it a lot.
Great. Thank you so much. All right, listeners, you're welcome. We're going to a very quick commercial break, and then we'll be back for some empowerment. I'm telling you, I have two divas that are going to empower the socks off of you. Yes, I said it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answer no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.mitchell-productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading author, gospel artist, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back again. Thank you so much for those that are tuning in. This is your girl, Charvette Mitchell, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. I know you follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. Connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. And, of course, you can always go to my main website, charvette.com. There you can hear past shows and also check out advertising packages and sponsorship packages if that is of interest to you. All right, so we are moving on into our next segment. I call it Sister Girlfriend Spotlight. I call it Empowerment Session. I am telling you what, I'm going to the green room now. I'm going to the green room right now to bring one of my guests on the line. I believe I have Miss Diamond on the line. Are you there? Or Miss Alicia?
I'm here.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad
Thank
to have you,
so
you joining us. Oh, you're welcome.
It's such a privilege.
Yes, I am telling you what, you are an author, motivational, a national speaker, a life coach, a job coach, a business consultant, and I'm telling you the list goes on. How do you find time to juggle and manage all of it?
It's God that gives me the strength. I just love helping individuals so much that God empowers me to continue to move forward. And part of my testimony, which you'll hear today, you'll understand why I have the drive to move forward.
Wow. And so certainly as one of the young ladies, one of three that are on an empowerment tour, and who came up with the idea to do an empowerment tour?
It was actually Diamond Sherelle Hugan's idea. She called me on the phone and she was like, I have this splendid idea. I think we should go on tour, we should do radio, TV, and actually some on-site interviews to empower people. So we empower people in finances, health, and relationships. So Diamond was actually, it was actually her vision, and it was a great idea, and God has been tremendously moving during this tour. Many have been set free and delivered, so it's been phenomenal.
Wow, and big shout-out to Sherelle Diamond Hogans. Certainly you all are quite familiar with her. I certainly want to give a shout-out to one of the other empowerment sisters that's on the tour, Melissa Ann Ricks as well. So certainly shout-out there. So tell us a little bit more about you and why empowerment is so important to you.
Well, before I was even born, my mother, you know, said she had wanted to put me up for abortion, and each time she went to the abortion clinic, something happened. She had a fever each day that she went for 3 days. So I was even rejected from my mother's womb, and then as a result, I was kind of, my parents kind of kept me on the realm when I was in high school, and when I got 18, I said, forget this, and I kind of came, just started, you know how we do drugs, alcohol, just got off the chain, but I grew up in church, so I knew that that was a place that God had for me. And even over the years, when I wasn't saved, I always acknowledged God. And then in 2007, I was a teacher at the time, and I went to the doctor, and they found a lump on my breast. I had breast cancer. And I'm like, okay, God, I've changed my life. I'm living the best that I can, and now I have breast cancer. What am I supposed to do? I had to resign from my job, and I began to take treatment. I went from a house to an apartment to a townhouse to Section 8 housing. And I'm like, God, I'm living the best that I can. What am I supposed to do now? So I couldn't work. I applied for public assistance and disability insurance. And God said, I have given you the tools within to empower other people. So from there, I began to do resumes on my free time, grants, proposals, and book editing for people. Just I started off doing it free. And that produced out of me a book which is called Business Practices and Principles, Broke Yesterday, Rich Today. But the book has tips in the book, and it tells you how to start a business on a shoestring and how to raise money for a business. When I started out in business, I didn't have any money whatsoever. I think I had 5 bake sales, maybe 4 dinners. And I just started blogging and started writing free articles until I got out there. And, you know, I've been on, like, God has opened up doors so that I've been able to go on a lot of shows and talk about breast cancer. I've had it 3 times. And
my
every
God.
Time God has made provisions. I have not worked since 2007. And people look and they say, how do you do it? And I'm just like an energized ball. I just got to keep going and going and going. And I came to tell somebody that's listening, whose report shall we believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Because according
Amen.
To the doctors, I should have been gone the first time. When I had it the first time, I started taking the treatments, and I told the doctor after week 6, I said, I'm not doing these treatments anymore. I said, when I come back on week 7, day 7, God says I'm going to be healed. Came back on week 7, day 7, the doctors were back there for 45 minutes whispering. I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? And when they came out, they told me they couldn't find nothing. They kept giving me blood tests. They said, it's like a miracle. We don't know what happened. That was in 2007. In 2008, I had another lump on the same place. This time they were talking about possibly removing my breast. And I told them this time, I said, I'm not getting surgery. I said, I believe God. And I remember going to my pastor, and I said, I want you to pray for me. And I said, I believe it. I said, if God did it on week 7, day 7 before, I'm staying in agreement. And each week I went to the doctor, up to the 7 weeks, they said the tumor's actually going down and shrinking down. We don't know what's going on. They were trying to figure out what I was eating or drinking because they said they never had seen anything like it.
My
and I remember,
God.
He just kept going, and I had my pastor to give me a bottle of blessed oil, and I just began to put the blessed oil into my bath water and begin to take a bath every day, and the blessed oil, week 7, day 7, went back. The tumor had shrunk down to the size of a penny.
My God.
That was in 2008. And 2011, which was last year, it came back again. So the doctors this time told me, it's not no way you're going to survive without the surgery because this has happened 3 times. I said, well, you know what? The number 3 is a number of completion. I said, you know what? I'm still not going to let you open me up because if it is cancer, it is bread probably. I said, you know what? I'm going to continue to trust God. And I tried different holistic stuff. But to make a long story short, when I went back again, everything was fine. And as a result of the radiation and treatment and everything, the doctor said I had lost 80% of the vision in my eye. And everything I did, I needed my eyes to do. So now I find myself without any income. I'm like, okay, God, what am I going to do? It was days I lost my car. I like I said, I was living in Section 8 housing. I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm so alone. And I was calling people to help, and it was nobody there. Couldn't even get a ride from church. I don't think I went to church for 4 months. But, you know, thank God, because even at my lowest peak, I was able to encourage myself. I began to put scriptures on index cards in my bedroom, in my bathroom, and I just began to quote the word. I said, God, whose report shall I believe? The report of the Lord. I said, God, if you did it for me 3 times, I know you can bless me financially. And I began to go to a local university, and I began to teach there, volunteer teaching there, to women that were on welfare, to impart it to different women that were in the welfare system. And I remember meeting a lady, and the lady began to share with me some things, and she was saying, she says, God is going to make a way. I was nice to this lady one time, and for one whole year while I took this treatment, I got checks in the mail, either checks or money orders, $300, $400, up to $1,000, and I never knew where the money was coming from.
My
God. People were just sending me food, and like they have a place like Obama Steaks, and they have food they can box up and send to your house.
Yeah.
People were sending food to my house. God just began to just bless me. And I kept pouring out and volunteering. As I began to pour out and volunteer, God just continuously blesses me. And I just came to tell somebody, you know what, if you do what God has called you to do in this season, God sure is going to make the provisions for you. I'm saying right now, I don't have a job right now, and I went through a hard time today, but God reminded me. He said,
yeah.
I took care of you over the last 7 years, so why can't I do it again? So I came to tell somebody, you know, if you just have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Girl, I got so much faith now. You know,
yes.
I've had so many weary days, but you know what? I'm still standing. I'm still standing. And I told someone yesterday, I said, you know what? What the enemy meant for my bad, God is turning around for my good. So
oh,
I just
my
give God,
God
some praise. And, you know, even though growing up, my grandmother almost raised me and I had all this bitterness towards my mother, but now I could say mm-hmm. I went from bitter to better. And sometimes when you're bitter, you get sick and don't even understand that it's affected your spirit and you're poisoning yourself.
Yes.
And I think
yes.
that's what happened to me. And I remember a pastor friend, he said, you got to get rid of bitterness, you got to forgive, and you're going to be made whole. And even as I began to go through the process, I began to get on my knees and I began to press, and God, help me to be whole, God. Help me to forgive those that have hurt me. Even at the
yeah.
age of 3, I was molested. But you know what? I can say today that I went from bitter to better. All the stuff, all the sickness, all the molestation, all the rejection that I've been through, I can stand here and I can say, God brought me through it. He did it. And I came to tell somebody today, you definitely can go from bitter to better. Mm-mm-mm.
Yes.
From bitter to
oh,
better.
My God.
And I can say today that I'm whole. God has made me whole. And the whole tour, all of us on the tour, we all got a story. And, you know, all of us have a story, and it's kind of similar. But you know what? God has set all of us free. God has made us whole. I'm so excited to be on this tour with the other two divas, which are
yes.
also fireballs. God is good in this season. I just thank him.
My God.
Woman God.
And listen, you don't look like what you've been through or going
oh,
through.
Oh, my God, girl.
You don't even look like it.
I can tell you, last year all my hair had fell out and I had to wear wigs, you know, the whole year. But I look
right.
this year, my hair's almost grown back. I've got a couple spots, but it's growing in. But you know what? I thank God. No, I don't look like what I've been through, and I praise God for it. And when I tell my story, people like, I can't believe it. I said, yes, it was me. But, you know, God has just been dealing with my heart. I have a
yeah.
contrite heart, a clean spirit now, where I'm able to minister to other women that have been raped, molested, or abused. I can tell them what I did to get to the next level. And it also pushed me to get my doctorate in Christian and clinical counseling to empower other women and to talk to other women. And you know, even in 2009, when I first started going through some of the things, I wrote another book. It's called Living on the Edge. And Living
oh,
on the
wow.
Edge, it talked about my progress. It was like a journaling opportunity for me. So I tell my story in the front of the book, and I like to write poetry. So in the back of the book, there's over 150 poems in the back of the book on healing, restoration, joy, and peace. And the reason that I got that book published, a close friend of mine that I was dating at one time, he was overseas in Afghanistan, and he came home, and his
uh-huh.
brother had passed away from cancer, and he was at the funeral. He got sick at the funeral, and he died the same day his brother passed away. He got
My
sick, and they
God.
Took him from the funeral to the hospital. So in memoriam of him, I wrote this book and published a book, and the proceeds from the book will go to his scholarship fund. But you know what? That hurt me as well. But you know what? I said, God, I thank you for every trial that I've been through, because it's making me go from bitter to better. Amen.
From bitter to better.
From
How
bitter
can
to
people
better.
Purchase that book that you just mentioned?
They can. It's on over 2,000 online websites. It's on Amazon. You can get it on Goodreads, or you can even purchase from any local bookstore, Barnes & Noble's, Atlantic Bookstore, any bookstore in your area, you could purchase it. And also, my website is www.unlimitedex.com.
Wow, and certainly the unlimited expectations Unlimited Expectations New Horizons is a nonprofit agency that you have started really to focus on job placement and life skills and computer classes. So it sounds like your life is a life of empowerment, really.
Yes, God put the foundation, He said, I want you to start a nonprofit. And the purpose of the nonprofit is like if somebody's working and they suddenly get cancer or they suddenly get sick or their husband or wife leaves a job, but it's for people because there's so much red tape in our governmental system, and when you need help, sometimes you can't get it. So the vision that God gave me, number one, is to help people financially that need the help, whether it's short-term, whether it's long-term, as long as they're trying to help themselves. And then there's the educational piece, where I'll be able to initially sometime soon to start the tutorial center. And let me tell you about that real quickly.
Oh, yes.
I live in a town, and 95% of the people in my town are Caucasian. And I ran for town council, and I began to join some councils in my town. And I got asked maybe 3 months ago to be on the economic development committee in my town. And I'm like, I really don't need to be on another committee, but I said yes. And the economic development committee deals with business. So I went to the last meeting, and they were talking about they had state spaces downtown in our town. And they said, well, we were asked to pick two people, business owners, that could to have a building downtown, free of rent charge for 3 to 4 months and electric. Well, they said that they had chosen me. So I said, I thank God for that. I thank God for the favor.
Oh, my
God,
yeah.
So I began to say, I said, well, after the 3 or 4 months, I said, I got to figure out how to maintain it. Well, I got a call today. We have a brewery in our town, and I got a call from another business owner, and he was like, don't worry about it. I got you for as long as you need me to help you. So I said that to say this, when you're faithful over God, when you're faithful over the things of God, and God gives you a vision, he's going to make the provisions. And even I posted this morning on my Facebook page, if you take the first step, God is going to do the rest. Sometimes fear of moving forward. And I even begin to think back in slavery, how my ancestors, you know, they did whatever they had to do to survive. Sometimes they wore the same clothes, they patched up the clothes, and God began to remind me in the spirit. He says, everything you went through, I'm patching you up so that you can continue to move forward. So everything that we go through, God is patching us up to take us to the next level in the season. And
well,
I thank God for that.
Yes, listeners, I told you you were going to be empowered. We were going to empower your socks off. I'm telling you right there, that download, this living witness of God's grace and mercy. I am telling you what, Alicia Brodnan, I'm telling you, we have enjoyed you. We got to let the listeners know where they can come see you. In Largo, Maryland, you can go and experience this empowerment tour Thursday, August 15th, 12 noon. It's a chat and chew at the Fridays over in Largo, Maryland. And then Thursday night at 6 p.m., the Empowerment Tour Signature Blue Events, and that's right over in Landover, Maryland. How can people stay up to date on the tour dates to make sure they connect with you? Maybe on Facebook? Can they connect with you there?
We have a Facebook page. It's called Sisters of Empowerment. Sisters of Empowerment. If you follow us on Facebook, you'll see dates that are posted, and we update frequently. I also, Melissa and myself, we will also be at a conference. It's called Cover Girls Conference. It's
all
Friday,
right,
August the 9th, and Saturday, August the 10th, in Salisbury, Maryland, at Faith Baptist Church. It's all on our Sisters of Empowerment page, and you can find it there.
Great. And can people connect with you personally?
You can contact me definitely personal. You can check out my website, www.unlimitedexpectations.com. And I'm a really personable caller. You could even call me by phone. And my business line is area code 302-362-9369. Or you can find me on Twitter at Lish, L-I-S-H, 8169. I'm also on LinkedIn as author Alicia Brolton, Dr. Alicia Brolton. Or you can also find me on Facebook as author Alicia Brolton. Or if you Google me, you'll find me all over the place. So we'll definitely be able to connect.
Great, great, great. Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad that we had this chance to chat it up with you and just hear your heart and hear the empowerment coming through you. And certainly we know that God will continue to bless your life. He is smarter than us. He knows what's up around the corner. He knows what's around the street. He's accountable for taking care of us. He's accountable for healing us and protecting us. And we know that he's going to continue to do that for you and bless your ministry and bless your whole entire life.
To God be the glory. All glory belongs to him. I'm just a vessel. I'm just excited to tell my testimony, to empower everybody. And even being a single mother, I'm telling you,
yeah.
I raised two beautiful daughters, and I can remember, you know, when I had got sick, during the time I was sick, I had told my daughter, I said, baby, you're not going to be able to go to college. And as we were watching TV, Bill Gates came on television, on Oprah Winfrey. I wrote Bill Gates a letter. The Gates Millennium Scholar sent my daughter a scholarship paper. It was 47 pages, and my daughter said, oh, my God, Mom, it's one out of 50,000 students that get the scholarship. I said, baby, you going to be one of them students to get the $50,000 scholarship.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter applied in her first year as a freshman, and her undergraduate, Bill Gates gave my daughter $185,000.
My God.
Scholarship. Mm-hmm. And not only that, her first year in college, they invited us to Baltimore where we could actually meet him. So she's graduated from college. This is her first year teaching, and she decided to work on her master's, and he just gave her another $174,000 and said if she wants to get her PhD, that the Bill Gates Millennium Scholarship Fund would also pay for that as well. Sometimes we look for things in a monetary, and God also has a plan. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The favor of the Lord.
Yeah,
the favor of the Lord.
For.
You can't explain favor. Do you know how many people would want some type of scholarship funding from Bill Gates and to be selected and to be blessed like that? I mean, we just know God's hand is all over your life, certainly, and your children. Yes. Well, I'm telling you, we are out of time. We'll have to have you back, certainly have you back. But we wish you all much continued success on your empowerment tour. Again, on Facebook, how can they connect with the tour dates?
On the tour dates, you can go to our Facebook page, which is Sisters of Empowerment.
Great. Very simple. Sisters of Empowerment. Well, thank you so much, Alicia, for being on the show. I really appreciate
you. It's such a pleasure to finally hear your voice and to connect with you as well.
Yes. No problem at all. Thank you. All right, listeners, I'm telling you what, this show was just awesome, and you want to check back next week where we'll have more phenomenal shows for you. We'll see you later. We appreciate you.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.